Judgment of Babylon, Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Revelation 17:1. This is another phase of the judgment scenes of Revelation 16, and will occur at the same time. That angel represents the redeemed company of Revelation 16:14. Called and chosen and faithful. John's vision viewpoint was the wilderness, Revelation 17:3. That is, he saw the visitations of divine wrath upon the mother of harlots as related to the whole world. She sitteth upon many waters, that is, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, Revelation 17:15. This is the Babylon of Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, Chapter 16, verse 18, and chapter 17, verse 18. As the great city, the woman is Rome, situated upon seven hills. But those seven mountains are also said to be seven heads on a beast, Revelation 17:3 and 7, and Revelation 13:1. Those seven heads are represented by seven kings, Revelation 17, verse 10. And the people are figured by many waters, Revelation 17:15. The national foe of Jerusalem is called a great mountain, Zechariah 14:7. Also, God's kingdom on earth is termed a great mountain, Daniel 2, verse 35. Evidently, this is the meaning. The seven nations, called seven mountains, composed of multitudes of people of various languages, will comprise one grand empire called the Beast, of which the city of Rome may be the capital. Religious Rome is mistress of the world. Her hand is the prevailing ladle in the international pot. The Roman Church is termed Jezebel, which means without cohabitation, Revelation 2:20. Her prelates pretend to live in celibacy, yet Jezebel's children are many, and she boasts of her numbers. Today, the membership of the Catholic Church in Canada and the United States is 24 million, nearly as many as all the other denominations together. Jezebel calls herself a prophetess, Revelation 2, verse 20. The Church claims to be the teacher, ignoring the Holy Spirit. Study the title which John saw on her head, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth, Revelation 17:5. In the scriptures, cities are likened to women only when viewed religiously. Hence, that city cannot mean Babylon in Assyria. Compare Ahola, which figures Samaria, Aholibah, Jerusalem, Ezekiel 23, and Hephzibah, Jerusalem, Isaiah 62, verses 4 and 5. Note how Jeremiah 51:13 agrees with Revelation 17, verse 15. Ancient Babylon did not dwell upon many waters, but upon one water, the Euphrates. Observe also how Jeremiah 51:45 agrees with Revelation 18:4. Behold the similarity of the destiny of Babylon as described by Jeremiah 51 verses 62 through 64 and Revelation 18 verse 21. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Revelation 17, verse 2. The church is a spiritual body of people. She cannot have fellowship with a nation. The union of church and state is entirely unscriptural. The state is of the world. The church is from heaven. About 300 A.D., Constantine was the first emperor to take the church under protection because he saw that it would be to his advantage. Church and state entered into a mutual fellowship. God calls that fornication. Therefore, spirituality was supplanted by formality. Formal religion, which eases a guilty conscience, appeals to statesmen who become carried away with it, being drunk with the wine of her fornication, even the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Revelation 18:3. People and statesmen of all nations have gone religiously mad because of the intoxicating effects of Rome's teaching, that the church is the kingdom of God and that she must convert the world before Christ can come back to the earth to reign. The whole lump, the mass of religious humanity, is leavened with this anti-Christian heresy. The fourth vision viewpoint. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Revelation 17, verses 3 through 6. That was John's fourth vision viewpoint. The wilderness simply means the world where the nations operate. The coming world empire will be beastly, that is, unlike God, without a thought of God and without reason. It will be scarlet, bloodthirsty, warlike. And yet its chief ruler will claim divine titles, showing himself off as God, and many other names will he assume, full of names which the Lord terms names of blasphemy. We have already noted that the seven heads are seven great nations which compose the world empire. See Revelation verse 1. Understand that by this vision God gave John an exact photograph of the nations and the relation of the Roman Church to them. Then the imagery becomes plain. Her colors and adornments are further proof of the woman's identity, for they are worn by the Pope and his associates. By visiting any Catholic cathedral, you will see these colors, purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, and pearls, and gildings in grand display. Rome bears the appearance of religious royalty, purple, claiming to reign as kings now, 1 Corinthians 4:8. Of heavenly perfection, gold and precious stones and pearls. She pretends to nourish the needy and hungry, a golden cup in her hands. But divine justice, indignant at her blasphemous claims, pronounces the contents of that cup abominable and filthy. Hence her consequent punishment is pending. Christ and his body, the true church, are a great part of the mystery of godliness. But the Church of Rome is the essential figure in the mystery of iniquity. That is why she is called Mystery Babylon the Great. The depths of this mystery are called the depths of Satan, Revelation 2:24. The origin and meaning of the word will help us greatly. Babylon means confusion, gate of Bel. Babylon is the Greek mode of spelling what in the Hebrew is uniformly Babel. Perhaps when Nimrod founded the city, he gave it the name Babel, Gate of Ill, or Gate of God. After the confusion of tongues, the name was connected by the Hebrews with the root Babal, to confound. Indeed, Rome claims to be the Gate of God, the means of God getting to man. But Jehovah names her confusion, and by her toil and teaching she spreads confusion worldwide. It is no longer a secret that Rome exerts far greater religious power over the nations and people than any other organized body of people. But God terms all that influence confusion. We are considering a very comprehensive verse. Who are the harlot daughters? Spirit-taught Bible readers agree that they are the Protestant denominations. The writer was certainly amazed to read, above 40 years ago, substantially the following in a Seventh-day Adventist paper. First, the editor stated that his denomination was the true church and all other denominations were the harlot daughters. The Catholic Church, of course, he said, is the mother. Then he quoted from half a dozen leading denominational periodicals. All of them pronounced the Catholic Church the mother of harlots, and each one declared his denomination to be the true church and all others to be daughters of the great harlot mother. Had the Advent editor been bright, he would not have published those statements. He did not realize that he was thus proving his sect also to be a harlot. every organization or sect, whether organized or not, that claims to be the church, thus makes itself a harlot daughter of Rome. The real church of God is a spiritual body. It is so constituted by individuals being joined unto the church by the Lord himself, even joined unto the Lord. Acts 2:47 and Acts 5:11. Does my reader object to calling religious organizations the harlot? If you do, it is because you do not know the scriptures, nor do you understand Christendom as God sees. Will the objector explain the deepening fellowship which obtains between Catholicism and Protestantism? Why are Catholic priests accorded an equal place with others at monthly and weekly ministerial meetings? Why are influential preachers saying that the Roman Church should be recognized? Explain, please, how a world-famed evangelist over 20 years ago could preach Jesus Christ and the new birth and Jesus coming in one breath, and in the next advise his hearers to attend Mass and join the Catholic Church, and hundreds accepted his counsel. God says, come out of her. That fellow said, join her. At the Chicago World's Fair, Catholics and Protestants, Jews and Mohammedans, were assembled on the same platform exhibiting their religious wares. That was hailed as a great victory for Christianity. That is a common occurrence today. Again, I remark that this is an amazing verse. The woman in question is the mother of harlots. The mother claims to be the bride of Christ, but is proving herself false by running after other lovers. Likewise, her daughters are flirting with the world, yet all the while claiming to be the spouse of Christ. Oh, the infinitude of divine mercy and forbearance that patiently puts up with it all. Then follows the still more solemn statement, the same woman is the mother of the abominations of the earth. Idolatry is worshipping idols instead of God and is a great abomination in the sight of God. Circumcision was a sign and seal to Abraham of his faith, so also to his descendants. But afterwards the Jews made it the necessary means of salvation. It became the Savior. Thus it became an abomination to God. The serpent on the pole was typically the means of Israel's deliverance because it pointed them to Christ's death on the cross. But afterward they made it an abomination by worshiping it instead of the Redeemer whom it typified. See Numbers 21:9 and John 3:14. And marvel. Catholics exalt creature things which, in God's sight, they worship. They bow reverently before lifeless statues of Jesus and Holy Mary, as they call her. They adore the church, idolize the priests, and worship the Pope. All this is abomination to God. The world has become filled with those who copy Rome by introducing varying shades of idolatry, turning the people away from Jesus Christ himself, who alone is the Savior and Keeper. The abominations are legion. I tell you that anything that people put above or ahead of Jesus is abomination, whether creed or church or man or form of worship or rules or gifts or days, all are abominations before God. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, Revelation 17:6. Was that ever true of ancient Babylon? By no means, but it has been most horribly true of the Catholic Church, as history assures us. To this day, she maintains the same spirit of hatred against real saints of God. None know this so well as those who have escaped from the hidden recesses of the dark system and come forth into the glorious light and liberty of the sons of God. Protestants are also following in their mother's steps. The Woman and the Beast. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. Revelation 17, verses 7 and 8. We must hold in mind the exact point from which John is viewing this scene. Revelation 17, verse 8 shows that he is standing within the 3 days during which the one head or ruler is dead. He sees the seven-headed world empire, many waters, and the woman sitting thereon. The fornication and drunkenness of the nations and the drunkenness of the woman with the blood of saints and martyrs all happen before John sees her. That is, during the past 19 centuries. See Revelation 17 verses 2, 4, and 6. In Revelation 17 and 18, he is giving us the divine view of the woman, especially during the week of consummations, and her terrible and just doom. What is told in one word in Revelation 2:22 is told out here in detail. In Revelation 17 verse 8, the beast that thou sawest, Revelation 13:1-2, was at the beginning of the 7 years, is not refers to the death of one of the heads or kings, Revelation 13:3-12. He will be dead probably 3 days because he will base his claim to be king upon the fact of being raised from the dead as the counterfeit of the Christ. Compare Romans 1 verse 4. This same one shall ascend from the pit. He will reign 42 months, Revelation 13:5, then go into perdition, Revelation 19:20. During his reign, the Christ rejectors shall wander after him and worship him as God, when they behold him killed and alive again so soon. Revelation 17 verses 10 and 11 helps us greatly here. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. When the 7 years begin, there are 7 kings which will rule over their respective mountains or nations. These 7 comprise the world empire. The 5 are fallen. When John stands beholding the woman sitting on the beast, the angel tells him that 5 of them have been dethroned sometime during the first half of the 7 years, and 1 is, one of the 7 kings will still be in power at that moment, and the other is not yet come. At the moment when John is beholding, the other is dead. And when he cometh, when he is raised to life, he must continue a short space of 42 months or 3.5 years, Revelation 13:5. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition after his 42-month reign, Revelation 17:11. What becomes of the 6th is not stated. His dethronement is implied. At one glance, the apostle saw the world empire as it will be at the beginning of the 7 eventful years of the next age, a beast having 7 heads, and as it will be at the end, and 10 horns. There will be a great combine of 7 nations reigning jointly as a vast world empire. Each ruler will have authority over his own kingdom or republic, but in agreement with the other 6. That will be a time of peace and safety, at least ostensibly. The white horse rider of Revelation 6 is a comprehensive symbol of that period of worldwide international peace. One of those 7 rulers will find it in his heart to be chief of them all. Dominance over others is the nature of fallen man, for the devil planted it in man's heart. As suggested by Revelation 8 verse 8, war will break out. A most terrific rapid-fire battle will be waged with the most effective implements of carnage. The 8th ruler will win. 1 is. Sudden destruction will end the peace period. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. 5 of the 7 rulers will be dethroned. The most ambitious one will be killed by a sword. Revelation 18:3-12. Evidently, Apollyon will bring him up from the pit of the abyss, Revelation 9. Being authorized and empowered by the devil, he will reorganize that world empire of 7 nations into 1 great kingdom and rule over it for 3.5 years. Then the Lord will be revealed from heaven with his saints and cast him into the lake of fire, Revelation 19, verse 20. The beast's abettors. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive authority 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. These 10 horns are the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's imposing image of the four world empires, Daniel 2, 41. Thus, the week or 7 years of usurpation will begin with 7 kings reigning in mutual agreement, but it will end with one king reigning supremely and 10 other kings ruling over their respective domains in subjection to him. The beast will be king of kings for a brief time. Those 10 kings have one mind or purpose and will give up their power and authority to the beast. We understand that the feet and toes of Nebuchadnezzar's great image will have their fulfillment in those coming 7 eventful years. The feet, too, of course, similar to the Roman Empire, Eastern and Western, at the beginning stand for the 7 heads or nations reorganized into one huge kingdom. The 10 kings will answer to the 10 toes on Nebuchadnezzar's image. Is the Atlantic Ocean between those feet? Will not the United States be a part of the world empire of that time? God knows. That 1 hour means a part of the Antichrist's reign. During that 1 hour, the great harlot will receive her doom at the hands of the beast, the kings being in agreement with him. Compare Revelation 17:16 with Revelation 18:10, 17, and 19. Revelation 2, verse 22 also suggests that the length of that hour will correspond with the great tribulation or reign of the Antichrist. Behold, I will cast her, Jezebel, that is, Catholicism, into a bed, and them, the nations that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. The hour of temptation, Revelation 3:10, embraces the entire 7 years. Those 10 horns or kings are not the 10 horns of the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, of Daniel 7, verse 7. We meet no discrepancy between Daniel and John when we bear in mind that neither one gives us all the information. Daniel 7, verses 4 through 8 pictures the four great world empires extending from about 606 BC up to the 7 years which begin the next age. The divinely allotted times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, ends with Daniel 7:8, the period of Gentile dominion beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, which God authorized. The next 7 years will be a usurpation. Daniel informs us that God will recognize 10 nations in particular during the last years of the times of the Gentiles. He explicitly states that 3 of those nations will be subdued, leaving only 7. These remaining 7 horns, see Daniel 7:24, evidently are the 7 kings of John's vision, Revelation 17:10, which will rule over the 7 heads or mountains, nations, at the beginning of the 7 years. Were there not 10 nations particularly to the front at the beginning of the World War of 1914 to 1918? And were not 3 of those nations subdued? Can we not almost name the 7 nations or 7 heads that John saw? Surely the end of all things is at hand. Watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. We find another proof that Daniel's 10 horns are not the 10 horns of Revelation 17. For the former, the kings of the earth, will bewail the destruction of the harlot, but the latter will be the direct agents of her overthrow. Compare Revelation 17:16. And Revelation 18, verse 9. Triumph of the Lamb. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:14. What Satan daringly plants in human breasts. The one mind or purpose of those 10 kings will be to dethrone Jesus Christ, and with the Antichrist, the supreme usurper, gain supremacy over heaven and earth. When the plagues fall on the throne of the beast, Revelation 16:10, they behold their dominion slipping away. They perceive that Jehovah is against them. Observe that it is the wild beast against the Lamb, for the Gentile nations are likened to wild beasts. The 10 kings are with the former, but they are not called and chosen of God. With the Lamb, there are also lords and kings who are subject to him. The beast assumes to be the King of Kings, but he is a usurper, an insurrectionist against the divine government. The lords and kings who are with the Lamb are called to these high functions. They are also chosen and faithful, because when they hear the call on earth, they respond to it and prove faithful in their persistent hope of reigning with Christ. Indeed, these are those who now reign in life through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. Through the triumph of Christ in that conflict, Daniel 2:34 will be fulfilled. A stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Kingdom of the wild beast. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will or purpose, and to agree, even to do one purpose, and give their kingdom unto the wild beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17, verse 17. What an amazing statement. God is back of all that happens with the nations. He will use 10 kings and the beast to punish apostate Christendom. This corresponds with Romans 9, verses 17 and 18, which intimates that God makes the wrath of man to praise him. Revelation 16, verse 14 indicates that Satan will gather the nations for the battle of Armageddon. But Joel 3, 2 and Zechariah 14, 2 show that God himself does it. No matter what is in man's mind, he cannot act until Jehovah is ready. For years, men have tried to form the Peace and Safety League, but their efforts are futile. When God's due time arrives, with mighty authority, they will proclaim peace and safety, but not until then. The nations endeavor to avert war, but when the Lord God of Israel shall speak, war will wage. For they will drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Jeremiah 25:15, etc. God is behind all his prophecies and wants us to see his hand everywhere and justify him in all things. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which has kingship over the kings of the earth. Revelation 17:8. That great city is papal Rome. Has kinship certainly expresses her hidden power over the rulers of the world. This cannot possibly be Jerusalem, as some suggest, because at that time Jerusalem will be in the throes of tribulation and not in control of the nations. This is none other than the city whose overthrow is foretold in Revelation 14:8. Babylon is fallen that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The next chapter delineates her downfall.